Second Samuel, if you would, in your Bibles this morning. You know what? I tell you what, y'all get to praise and worshiping God, and I won't preach. That'd be all right for me, too. Amen? Amen. This thing ain't about me. I don't have to have it about me. I want this thing to always be about Jesus and lift Him up. When that happens, praise God. I tell you what, I'll just step aside and let the Holy Ghost do His work. Amen. Let's look in chapter 19 of 2 Samuel this morning. 2 Samuel 19. I'm going to read the first 18 verses of the chapter. All right? And we'd invite you to stand with us this morning, if you would. And let's honor God and His Word. 2 Samuel 19, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. And Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had well pleased thee. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that failed thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, Art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, Return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." We'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, just simply to be in your presence today. God, I'm thankful, Father, for folks, Lord, that can gather together and worship. God, I thank you for a church, Lord, that still understands, Father, what it means to be free to worship. Thank you for that, God. Use us now, God, for your glory. Let this word that we've read, Father, speak and find a resting place in every heart. God, use me to preach. Give me an anointing, Lord, one more time. Father, I pray, let me preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray for everyone here today that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, I pray before this service is over, Lord, that they would come by faith unto this altar today, God, in repentance of their sins so they can be saved and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. We love you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you go to church with any regularity, you've probably heard someone say this phrase before. The phrase is that God inhabits the praise of His people. Now, many folks see that statement as nothing more than a way that a preacher or a song leader or somebody like that might be trying to get them to sing, might be trying to get them to shout, or in some way just trying to stir up the service. But the truth is that we should heed that advice. And it's not just because the advice is scriptural, but that it's one of the principles that work when we apply it. Now, in our text, we find King David has been exiled from his kingdom because of a bloody rebellion that was instigated by his own son named Absalom. In the fighting, Absalom had been slain. If you remember the story, Absalom had long hair. And as he was riding a mule, he got his hair caught into the boughs of a tree. And the servants of Joab went back and told Joab that Absalom was hanging in a tree and he was helpless and he couldn't get out of the tree. And Joab said, well, why in the world didn't y'all slay him? So Joab goes and he slays Absalom while he's hanging on the tree. And so now all of the people of Israel, including the tribe of Judah, are now waiting to see if David is going to come back into town and going to resume his place on the throne. But David refuses to go home because he's in mourning over the death of his son. And the people that are at home are scared because they had taken the side of Absalom. And they're wondering, if David does come home, what's David going to do to him when he arrives? Well, Joab comes up to David and Joab shames David. And Joab tells him, he says, you know what, David? He says, you ought to be happy and rejoicing because all of your servants put our lives on the line to restore your kingdom back to you. But yet here you sit in mourning because Absalom is dead. And Absalom was the one who drove you out of your kingdom. He said, I think that if we'd have been the one that died and Absalom would have stayed alive, you'd have been happier. And Joab tells David, he says, you need to get up, stop your mourning. He says, and get up and go out there and talk to the people and tell the people thank you for what they've done. Because if you don't, he said, every one of them's going to rise up in mutiny against you. And if you thought it was bad when Absalom came against you, you wait till not only do you have Absalom's army, but your own army rising up against you. He says, it's going to be worse off than it was at the beginning. So David gets up and he stops mourning over his son and he goes, and the Bible says he goes to the place of Gilgal. And there he stops at Gilgal. And he stops because the people have hesitated to ask him to come back. And what's most interesting about the people hesitating to ask him to come back is that the very tribe of Judah is the last one left that will ask him to return. And what's funny about that is you realize that David was born in the tribe of Judah. It was his very own people who had not asked him to come back. Well, see, from this text today, what we understand is that our King has a desire to be enthroned in our hearts and in our lives. But He will not come unless He's invited. But there's a specific manner by which He desires to be invited. And that is what we're going to see this morning. And with that thought in mind, I want to preach on this little topic. What will you do to get into the presence of the King? What will you do to get into the presence of the King? One thing we understand, I want you to take your Bibles now. I want you to go back, hold your finger in 2 Samuel because I want to set a little foundation here. And I want you to go back into Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29 will help us to set a foundation as to what we're looking at this morning. In Genesis chapter 29, you will find the story of Jacob. Jacob was working for Laban, and he had struck up a deal with Laban that he would work for 7 years in order that he might have Rachel as his wife. Laban agreed, you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you Rachel as pay after the 7 years. There you go, men, try that with your daughters, all right? See how that works for you. After 7 years, Laban hoodooed Jacob. Didn't give him Rachel, the one that he loved, gave him Leah, the older sister. When Jacob confronts Laban, Laban says, hey, it's customary to give the older one first. And he says, well, what do I got to do to get Rachel? He said, work another 7 years and I'll let you have her. So he got 14 years of work out of Jacob in order for Jacob finally to get the woman that he loved. So now he's got Leah and he's got Rachel both as his wives. And we pick up right here, let's say in, let's see, let me go and let's try verse 31, okay? Verse 31 of Genesis 29. The Bible said, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. In other words, Jacob didn't love Leah like he loved Rachel, okay? Well, God recognized that. So what did God do? He opens up Leah's womb and he makes Rachel barren. Now, boy, God's got a sense of humor, don't he? And the Bible said, and Leah conceived and bare a son, called his name Reuben. She said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Rachel couldn't bear him a child. I could. Now, maybe he'll start loving me. Well, verse 33, she conceived again, bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. She called his name Simeon. Verse 34, and she conceived again, bare a son, and said, now this time my husband will. Every time she keeps having children, hoping that Jacob would finally love her. And now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Now, 3 times she says, I'm going to bear a child for this man because I realize this man doesn't love me like he loves Rachel. And so I'm going to do everything I can to give him what he wants so desperately. And I know when I do, he'll love me. Well, 3 times she has a child by Jacob. And all 3 times she says, now he'll love me. Now he'll love me. Now he'll love me. Never happened. Never happened. It did not change Jacob's mind. His thoughts, his love, his affection was always to Rachel. Look in verse number 35. I like this. I can stop right here and just preach. And I might. I don't know. We'll see. Verse 35 hits me. And the Bible says, because see, the whole time in those 3 kids, every time somebody was born, she said, now he'll love me. But verse 35, all of a sudden, there's a whole different concept. She conceived again and bare a son, and she said, I like it. I can't help but like it. For 3 children, she's saying, I'm always worrying about what he is thinking of me. But she finally gets to the point. When she bears the 4th child, she says, you know what? I no longer really care what he thinks about me. What I know is that God has blessed me. So therefore, I believe I'll just praise him. Hallelujah. Let me give you a piece of a thought to keep in your mind this morning, all right? If you think highly of me, fantastic, I hope you do. If you don't, let me tell you something. I'm just going to praise God this morning.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to go home and lose sleep. I'm not going to go home and stay up all night and wring my hands because you think less of me. I'm going to go home tonight and say, my God thinks highly of me. Hallelujah. He exalts me and I'm highly favored before Him. I think if nothing else, if nobody loves me, I know God loves me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. And so she says, believe I'll name him that. She says, this is a child of my praise. Therefore, I'll name him Judah. So Judah becomes the tribe associated with praise. Now we go to 2 Samuel. And now David's been exiled, but through battle, he wins his kingdom back. He wants to go home and he wants to sit on his throne again. But he says, I'm not going. I'm not going anywhere. He says, I'll get a little close. I'll get a little close. He says, but I'm going to stop right here on this side of Jordan. I'm not going over to the other side where my throne's at. Not until Judah invites me. Think about that. I'm not going to go and enthrone myself in your life if you're not willing to praise me. That's what he says. He stops at Gilgal. Here's the Jordan River in front of him. And the other tribes are running to Judah. And they're saying, why didn't you ask him to come home? He's one of yours. He's of your flesh. He's of your bones. Why are you the last one to ask him home? The very last ones to praise him was his people. Why is it many times that it seems like the last people to praise the king are the ones he done so much for? Because he told him, he said in verse number 9, he says, if you remember this King David, he delivered us from all of our enemies. He kept us from the Philistines. He's done all these things and then we turned away from him. And he says, Judah, you got to get him back. Judah, you got to get him home. And Judah says, And David sits there on one side of Jordan. Judah and all of Israel that needs him so bad sits on the other side of Jordan. And all they've got to do is invite him. That's all they got to do. All we've got to do this morning, church, to get him in our lives is to invite him. And we invite him how? By praise. We invite him through praise. That's the only way he comes, guys, is when we praise him. That's the only way he sets up authority in our hearts is when we praise him. That's the only way you'll see a manifestation of God's Spirit in the churches when we praise him. People say, bless God, they don't do that at my church. Then don't invite me to come, all right? Because you know what? I might mess it all up. But you, I like to get around people that don't mind to praise God. You say, that makes me feel uncomfortable. You know what? When we get in the presence of God, I don't find anybody that ever stood in the presence of God didn't fall down at his face. It makes me uncomfortable being in the presence of God because I realize I'm a sinner on my best days. I realize I failed him on my best days. I realize I'm ugly on my best days. But hallelujah, one thing I know is I've been bought with a price and I belong to my King. Hallelujah. And there ain't a devil in hell gonna stop me from praising him this morning. He's standing on one side of Jordan and he's looking at you and saying, I want to be enthroned in your heart. When are you going to praise me and invite me in? Well, I just ain't into that stuff. Then you'll never have him enthroned in your heart. See, in praise, we seek for the presence of the King. In praise, we seek after his presence. And God inhabits what? The praise of who? His people. God inhabits the praise. Do you need God right now? Do you need God in your situation? Do you need God once again enthroned in your heart? Do you need God to take care of a sin problem in your life? Do you need God to do something miraculous in your heart and soul? Do you need God to give you a touch? Hey, let me tell you something. You want to know how to invite Him to do it? Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. See, in praise we seek the presence of God. You know what He said? When we come to church, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. How'd you come in this morning? How'd you come in this morning? Enter His courts with praise. With praise. See, in praise we seek the presence of God. In praise we sacrifice for the presence of God. Now I want to take you on down. I want you to follow this scripture with me. Man, I like this. Look in verse 15 now, okay, of what we read. The Bible says, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal. Now the king is on one side of the river. Judah's on the other side in a place called Gilgal. Now later on, the Bible says in that verse, they go over Jordan to meet the king. But at this point in time, they're at Gilgal. What's the significance of that? I'd hold your finger there and go backwards with us to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Now, at this point in time, you realize, if you know a little bit about the book of Joshua, you realize that Moses is dead. You realize the entire generation that doubted God, wandered in the wilderness, they're dead. Joshua now is the general. He's the leader of the children of Israel. He's heading over toward the promised land to get them in. And you'll find here that, remember, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, God made command they be circumcised. But since that original command, everybody else that had been born in the wilderness had not had that done. Verse 1 says, it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of the Jordan westward, and all the king of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard the word of the Lord. All these things, they got scared. Okay, verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, here they are at Gilgal. Okay, they're at Gilgal. At that time, God said, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised all the children at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males. Even the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them had they not circumcised. If you remember now, if you remember, Judah had turned against David and had chosen to follow Absalom. All right? Judah had turned against David, chosen to follow Absalom. David says, before I go back home, they're going to have to get rid of some things in their heart. These were the ones that rejected me as king. And if they want me to be king in their lives, then some things are going to have to be cut out. So God parks them over at Gilgal, the very place where before they went into the promised land, God circumcised them. And in circumcision, God is symbolically showing us that there are things in our heart that He wants cut out. He wants that spirit of rebellion cut out. He wants that spirit of sin. He wants all of those things cut out of their life. Before they can cross over Jordan to get to the king, boy, I could preach about 5 or 10 messages out of this. Before you'll ever cross over to Jordan to see the king, you're going to have to get sin cut out of your life. Not everybody that dies in sin goes to heaven. Now, you won't hear anybody at funeral homes preach it that way. But let me tell you something. If they died in sin, they don't go to heaven. And God said, I've taken them to the river. One day, church, as the old saying goes, we're going to stand before Chili Jordan. And the only way we're going to get over to the other side to see the King is if our hearts have had the sin cut out. And he says, before I'll ever be their king again, they're going to have all that rebellion cut out. You want to know why a lot of folks that are saved, this was God's people, this was David's, this was the king's people. You want to know why a lot of them don't have the power of God in their lives? You want to know why a lot of them won't praise God and all these things? Because there's things in their heart that shouldn't be there. And God says, before you can ever praise me, and before I'll ever enthrone myself on your heart, you're going to have to cut some stuff out. Some things are going to have to get cut out. There is nowhere in the Bible where you can walk in open and willful sin and live in the presence of God. I mean, Sister Audrey just told us, just missing church just a couple of times, how he can help you to go slack. Think about that. And some of you miss it like it's, you miss breakfast. But yet, for somehow, we think we're walking in the presence of God. But God says, if you want my presence enthroned in your heart, this was the King's people, guys. He says, if you want my presence enthroned in your heart, you're going to have to land at Gilgal one day. And you're going to have to go through a Holy Ghost incision to cut some stuff out of your heart that don't belong there. So in praise, we seek the presence of the King. But in praise, we're willingly sacrificing for the King. Let me ask you a question. What are you willing to let go of to get in the presence of God? What are you willing to let go of to be in the presence of the King? A lot of folks won't let go of things in life. They hang on and hang on and hang on and hang on. But what are you willing to let go? Some of you this morning, praise God, and I'll brag on you, you let go of your dignity this morning to get into the presence of God. Somebody says, well, bless God, that don't seem too dignified to me. I ain't dignified. So it don't bother me. I don't worry about dignity. I don't get my dignity from what somebody thinks of me. I get my dignity from what God thinks of me. I don't base that on what you think of me. I base it on what he thinks of me. And he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So if you don't think that, ain't much I can help you with. But my God thinks it, though. He thinks it. What are you willing to let go of? See, in praise, we seek the presence of the King. In praise, we offer sacrifice to the King. And in praise, we strive. Or rather, we solicit, rather, others to praise the King. Now look, verses 16 and 17. Judah came to Gilgal in verse 15. But here's Judah down there at Gilgal. They're on the shore of Jordan on one side. And the Bible says in verse 16, Shimei, the son of Gera, was he of the tribe of Judah? It's written right there in verse 16. No, he was not in the tribe of Judah. He was a Benjamite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. When Judah got their hearts, when God's people got their heart right with the King, it solicited others to come running so they could find their place at Gilgal, have their hearts cut apart by the Holy Ghost, and then they could be right with the King. And when one of them done it, look at verse 17. There were 1,000 more that came. And then Ziba and 15 sons and 20 servants. And they all went over Jordan to see the King. You get your heart right with God, there's no telling what God will do in your family. You get your heart right with God, there's no telling what God will do in this church. You get your heart right with God, there's no telling what God will do down at the job site or in the classroom. There's no telling what God will do. All it took was for Judah to get down to Gilgal and submit over to the spiritual incising of the Holy Ghost. And when they allowed God to begin to cut some things out of their heart, the next thing you know, everybody else came running. Boy, if God can do it for them and they rejected Him, I believe He can do it for us. And here He come a running, not just one, but 1,000. And then here comes Ziba, the servant of Saul, the very one whose David's regime overthrew. But yet here he comes and says, I want to be part of this guy's life. I want to be part of this king. I want to be part of this fellowship. Oh, I don't know about you today, church, but I believe if I was out of fellowship with God, I believe I'd find my place down at a Gilgal altar somewhere. And I believe I'd let Him start cutting some stuff out of my life. And I believe once He got done from cutting, and when the pain stopped, because it's going to hurt when it cuts, I believe I'd stand up and I'd lose my dignity again. And I'd squall out, thank You, Jesus, hallelujah. Here I come unworthy. But God, hallelujah, You took me in anyway. Thank You, God, for what You've done. In praise, we solicit others to the presence of the King. And in praise, let me give you this last one. We strive for the presence of the King. Now, they still had a problem. Judah had made it down to Gilgal. The king had made it over to the other side. All the cutting and everything symbolically has been done. Others had even been invited to come and experience the same thing happen. But there was still a problem. The king was still over on the other side. I got to get to him somehow. Orville and Wilbur wasn't alive then. I can't fly over. I don't have the Army Corps of Engineers going to come and build me a bridge to go across. How do I get to the King? Hey, let me tell you something, guys. Sometimes to get the presence of the King in your life, you just got to go through some stuff. But now the difference is, when Judah started going in, now listen to me. This is the key to the whole thing, and this is where I'm going to stop right here, because I want this to land exactly where it's going to land. God's going to put it wherever He wants it, but here it is. When they started on this side at Gilgal, they were Judah, meaning they were the praisers, were they not? But they had to go through some stuff to get the king back in their enthroned, did they not? But when they come out on the other side of the Jordan River, did their name change? Did their name change? Meaning they were the praisers before they went through something? Yeah, y'all looking at me like, Some of you lost your praise. You let the devil rob it. Judah had to go through something to get the king back enthroned in his heart. But they wasn't nobody going to ferry him back over. They had to go over and get him and ferry him themselves. They had to go through something. They had to wade. Some of us are still wading through some stuff right now. Just trying not to be swept through by the current of the trial. Trying not to be swept through by the rushing waters of the storm that we're in. But you know what? God says, hey, I'm still on this side of Jordan. Just keep wading. Just keep striving. Just keep going through it. Just keep pushing. Just take another step. When you got to stop and hang on to the limb of the tree above it, just hang on for a while. But you know what? Whenever you get your foot in back, take another step again. When you go a little bit, just take another step again. You know what? Just start praising me that there was a limb for you to grab hold of. Just take another step again. Just praise me that you found a good place to stick your heel in on the crag of the rock and give you a good footing while the waters are rushing by. Just praise me while you're going going through something, because I promise you, when you get to the other side, there I'll be, hallelujah, and it will be worth it all. We all of us at times in our lives are going to be on this side of Judah, or Jordan rather. We're all going to be the Gilgal Christians, aren't we? Getting ready to go through something. All of us are. We all go through stuff. Some Jordans are bigger than others. Some Jordans are deeper than others for some people. But we all go through something, don't we? One day we're all going to go through a big one one day. It's called death, isn't it? All of us are going to die one day, aren't we? That's a big Jordan for all of us. We're all going to go through something. So all of us, in essence, are in the same boat when we start. But we're not all in the same boat when we come to the other side. Because many of us started out as praisers. But when we had to go through something and we come out of it, we're not praisers anymore. And let me tell you something now. Let me give you the point of that. You say, preacher, that's hard on us. Let me give you the point of this, because I'm trying to help you this morning. God won't take His place back. You won't experience the power and the presence of God in your life again like you once had it, until you can break free and be Judah on the other side. Whenever they broke through to the other side, and they were still Judah, then the king said, now men, you can ferry me back over. But he was not willing to get over and enthroned back in their presence again until they got to the other side and invited him. Do you want God? Do you want that old feeling again? Do you want the power and the presence of God in your life again? I know we've all been through Jordans in our lives. All of us have went through Jordans of some sort of our lives. And as children of God, we are children of Judah. What tribe was Jesus from? The line of the tribe of Judah. We are God's children, meaning spiritually we come through Judah. We need to be Judah going in. We need to remain as Judah going out. Don't let Jordan destroy you. Don't let Jordan wash you away. But just hang on and keep striving. And praise Him as you're going through it. Thank you, God, for the rock I can grab hold of. It didn't wash me away. Thank you, God, for the branch I got a hold of. Didn't wash away. Thank you for that other person that was going through Judah with me that found him a steady place to hold on to. And he reached back and he saw me struggling. He grabbed my hand and he said, come on, we can go through Judah together. Come on. Come on. And when you get to the other side, you can both walk over together and say, now, King, come on home with me. What about it today? Do you still have the power of the presence of God like you once did in your life? Or have you let Jordan wash it away? Now let me tell you something, guys. Not only were they Judah going in it, not only were they Judah when they come out of it, but they were still Judah as they were going across it. I will bless the... David said this, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means when I'm going in, when I'm in it, and when I'm coming out. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what David says. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a breakthrough today? Do you need a breakthrough today? Because you've allowed the Jordan to wash your praise away. I encourage you today, get to the other side. God will still be there. And whether you have ever realized it or not, God was in the Jordan with you when you were going across. And He'll be there with you always, even to the end. Aren't you glad for that today? Let's stand this morning.